You are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Take two or three hands of people and tell them, God's got great plans for you in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Johannesburg, in the very near future, I'll be there 8 o'clock in the mornings. We're going to explode Johannesburg. One of the reasons for our time change. East Rand, welcome, welcome. George, East London, Polokwane, Kakamas, Newcastle. And then those in correctional facilities, Pretoria, Grootvlei, Polsmoor, Uppington, and Kimberley. Our live stream viewers across the world, we welcome you. And of course, all you beautiful people, give yourself a welcome and all the people close to you and around you. I want to continue today to talk to you, to launch you and challenge you into 2015. We know how we start will determine how we run. 2014 is gone. Many of you had great highlights and we thank God for it. Some of you had some low moments and we thank God. In any case, God is faithful. This is a new year, a new beginning. And I'm talking to you today. I continue on 3 goals to set for 2015. Like somebody once said, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. Proverbs 29 verse 18, the Bible says, where there's no vision, people perish. So if you want to excel this year in your marriage, in your spiritual walk, in your business, in your finances, in your health, you must be a goal setter in Jesus' name. Sometimes when you talk about setting goals in the church, people think, well, that's not very spiritual. Well, I'm going to show you how spiritual goal setting is and how unspiritual it is not to have goals. So Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 to 15, every home cell leader must have a goal. Every businessman must have a goal. Every person working must have a goal. Every student must have a goal. Amen. Philippians 3 verse 12 to 15, the Bible says, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or arrived, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm talking about it tonight, the curse of comfort. Because sometimes when people are blessed, they begin to settle, they stagnate, and they are no longer living on the cutting edge, willing to step out of the boat. So Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many of us as are mature, have this mind. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So Paul makes it clear. He says, there are things behind me. There are things ahead of me. One thing I do, I forget what is behind me. And I press on into those things that are ahead of me. Even when you are fighting a prolonged battle, God has given you the ability to forget yesterday. That's why the sun rises afresh every day. That's why there's a summer every year. After every winter season, there's a new beginning. Set a goal for a new beginning. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, the Bible says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself also may become disqualified. Really what he is saying is, do not conform to the norm. Run your race. Be the best you can be. Be the best husband, the best wife, the best student, the best businessman. Be everything and more that God called you to be. Can you say amen? Norman Vincent Peale said, all successful people have a goal. No one can get anywhere unless he knows where he wants to go and what he wants to accomplish or do with his life. In Habakkuk 2 verse 2 and 3, laying a foundation again, the Lord answered and said to me, write the vision. You know, successful people think on paper. You need to write your goals down. Amen. You need to put your goals somewhere visibly for you to see exactly as the Bible says, make it plain on tablets. Write down what you believe in God for. Make it plain. that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will not speak. It will speak. It will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Les Brown said, your goal are the roadmaps that guide you and show you what is possible for your life. Andrew Carnegie said, if you want to be happy, set a goal that commands your thoughts, liberates your energy, and inspires your hopes. Julius Erving said, goals determine what you are going to be. And then finally, Diana Sharp said, goals are simply dreams with deadlines. Jesus Christ said, if you can believe, all things are possible. What are you believing God for in 2015? I told you to set smart goals. S, be very specific in your goal settings. M, set measurable goals. You want to know where you are going. A, set attainable goals or achievable goals. I'm going to do this, okay? I'm going to lose 2 millimeters this year around my waist, okay? I've got a strategy. I've got a plan. I'm very specific. I'm going to increase in my time with my children this year. I'm going to lower my golf handicap. Somebody say amen in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to spend more time in the presence of God. I'm going to grow my business. You need to measure it, and it must be attainable. You must want to achieve those goals. They are relevant goals. Amen. So whatever you are called to do as a pastor, relevant goals. I want to train my leaders this year to be better at caring for the sheep. Measurable goals, relevant goals, and then time-bound goals. What I want to accomplish this year. So a very simple thing. If you want to lose weight, you're going to have to get a graph, and you're going to have a plan. Because a lot of people that are spiritual think all they have to do is pray and do nothing. Well, that's not true, my friends. Yeah, the Bible told us very clearly, write the vision, make it plain. What is it that God is telling you you have to accomplish? Make those goals clear. Write them down, pray over those goals, and believe God they will come to pass. So we started talking about goals in three areas. Number one, your spiritual goals. God first. Everybody say God first. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about his number one goal in life. A man who was at the height of success when he got saved, says, my number one goal is to get to know him better. I want to gain Christ. I want to know him better. Every Christian, your number one goal must be, I want to know the Father better. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses himself? So when we talk about goal setting, we want to start in the right place. Your number one goal is for spiritual growth. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, you've been called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. So your number one goal this year should be, I want to be more like Jesus. I'm not going to get offended this year. I'm going to walk in love this year. I'm going to walk in forgiveness this year. Come on. I'm going to walk in kindness this year. I want the character of Jesus in my life. Say a good amen. I want to know the Father more. That brings me to reading my Bible, spending time in prayer. These are all goals, because if you don't write them down, you will not pray, because good intentions are not enough. You need to write your goal. You need to make it plain. You need to write a daily timetable, because a lot of people, mostly people who do nothing, say, where did the time go? Or you ask them to do something, they say, I don't have time, simply because they are not planning. Well, the Bible is clear about planning. Which of you intending to build a house does not first down, sit down and see if he has enough to finish the house? So we have to get committed to our plans, committed to our goals, write our vision down, and then run with the vision that God gave us. So firstly, your spiritual goal. Under your spiritual goals, number one, getting to know the Father better. Number two, getting involved in the local church. Amen. Sitting on the sideline will not cause you to grow. Uninvolved people do not reach spiritual maturity. So my question this morning, Pretoria, Johannesburg, Bloemfontein, East Rand, Welkom, all over, where are you going to get involved this year? Maybe you can run a business cell. Maybe you can be a 2IC as a cell leader. Maybe you can be an usher in one of our services. Not sing like Usher, but usher like an usher in CRC. Amen. Come on. There's something you can do. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, the Bible says, as each one received a gift, so minister it one to another. We are God's family. This is our calling. The local church is what God is building in the earth. You need to be committed to the local church with your time, your talent, and your treasure. Come on, say a good amen. So where are you going to get involved? Anybody can sit on the sideline and voice an opinion. But get involved in the band. Get involved in the music. Get involved as a cell leader. Get involved in equipping people, in discipling people. Get involved in a soul-winning course somewhere in this church. Everybody has something. What is your gift? How are you going to help us build this great church? How are you going to help us invade into the future that God has called us? Together, we do more. So what is your place? What is your spiritual function? Maybe you're an intercessor. Maybe you should give more than you are giving right now. Maybe God is blessing your business, but you've become a tipper, not a truck, a tipper. You know, I talk to businessmen often and they will tell me, oh, Pastor, God is so good to me and God is blessing my business and the blessing. And I'm thinking, well, are you blessing the work of God? Are you good back to God? God has increased you. Have you increased your giving? Come on, don't shut me down if I'm preaching the truth here this morning. Which brings me to your third spiritual goal, your financial contribution. As I said last week, if you don't believe in tithing, then do more than tithing, because grace takes you higher. To say I don't believe in tithing doesn't mean you give nothing, because grace takes you higher than what you call tithing under the law, although the Bible is clear that tithing was before the law. Jesus never said, stop tithing. Well, if you believe Jesus said, stop tithing, then what did he tell you? He said, everything you have belongs to him. So you better give more than the priest in the Old Testament. So don't fight those who tithe. Show those who tithe a better way and do more for the kingdom of God and be more generous, come on, and build more buildings for God and feed more children for God. Oh, come on, say amen in the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, this Christian journey is about doing, not about talk. We need to do more in Jesus' name. Proverbs 3 verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. This is how your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now debate, deliberate, but first belongs to God. I say 2015, the first belongs to God, not the leftovers. The first. That's why if you set a goal to spend time with God first thing in the morning, or you will not get there. Read your Bible first thing in the morning. Pray first thing in the morning. When you get your salary, the first fruit belongs to God. Now we can debate all you want to, but nowhere does the Bible say do nothing. I mean, when you talk about money, people always question the pastor's motive. No, we should question your motive. What are you doing? Your generosity. You now have the Spirit of Christ. That is a generous spirit. So you can't have a turnover of millions and give God small change every month and say, oh, hallelujah, I'm on fire. And my brother, you're backslidden. Because the more God increases you, the more your giving should increase. The more God blesses you, the more the blessing should flow through you. Come on, you are a channel. You are not a reservoir. You are there so the blessing of God can flow through you. Say amen, somebody, in this place in Jesus' name. Come on. So Paul makes it clear. He says, first pursue God. Second thing in Philippians 3, he says, then pursue the plan of God, which involves your work, your studies, your sport, where God called you in the marketplace. My message this morning, in 20 minutes quickly, for 2015, as you set goals, see the milk and the honey. In Numbers chapter 13, the Bible says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each of the tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way to the south and go to Pretoria, and see what the land is like in Bloemfontein, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land of Gauteng, South Africa, they dwell in is good or bad, a land filled with opportunity or a land filled with obstacles, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage. I mean, what an amazing thing God tells them. God says, and we know the promise of God is to move his children from the land of never enough through the land of just enough into the land of more than enough. The very reason why Jesus came. In John 10 verse 10, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So let's not debate about the abundant life. Religion, the poorer, the holier. The only holy that you get when you are poor is holes in your souls, my brother and my sister. God wants to bless you. I mean, Jabez was not afraid to ask God to bless him. I want to imprint this in your hearts this year as a businessman. Pray for the blessing of God. Pray for increase this year. Believe God for greater things. Believe God for more this year. Come on. Believe God for overflow this year. Believe God for abundance. Get a vision for abundance as a pastor in Jesus' name. And stop looking at the giants and stop making excuses. 1 Chronicles 4 verse 11, Jabez prayed to God. He said, oh, that you would bless me. That you would enlarge my territory, oh God. That you will put your hand upon me and you will keep me from evil. The Bible says God granted him his request. I believe God's looking for people whose hearts are set upon his kingdom so that he can bless them. As the Bible says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Come on. I believe a transfer of wealth should take place for those who serve the purpose of God. But if your purpose is just to have more so you could have more, it will leave you empty and hollow, my dear friend. God wants to bless you with more so that you can do more for the kingdom. God wants to increase you so that you can be a greater blessing to people in your world, so you can pay better salaries in Jesus' name, give greater bonuses in Jesus' name, employ more people in your company. Say amen. God wants to bless you so you can be a channel of blessing and eradicate poverty in South Africa and build the house of God debt-free. That's why God wants to bless you. To take care of your needs and to meet the needs of others through you. So when you talk about goals for prosperity or goals in business, people think it is carnal. No, my dear friend, what is carnal is prosperity without purpose. It's people that pursue money for the sake of having more money. Those are people that get lost along the way because the goal is money. They cannot part with their money. Blessed to be a blessing. The more God blesses you, the more should flow through your hands. I mean, some of you gave God more than 10 years ago than you give him now. And today it's all tied up. No, you are all tied up. Because it's easy to untie something. You sell it, like Jesus said, and you give the proceeds to people, to God, to the kingdom, to the poor. You sell what you have so that you can continue to be a river and not a reservoir. Come on, say amen in the name of Jesus. Come on, we're talking about a vision with purpose, working with purpose for the glory of God. A vision of abundance so you can do more for God. A vision of influence so you can do more for God. It's all about the glory of God. It's all about the kingdom of God. God wants to bless you more so you can do more for God. Come on, say amen in Jesus' name. So those spies came back. We know the story very well. And 10 of them said, sure, the land is a land that flows with milk and honey, but we saw the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Alaranaites. They saw problem upon problem upon problem. And 2 came back and they said, we are well able. Let us go up at once and take the land. Pastor, we are well able. We don't care what happened last year, but this year, we're going to do better. We're going to go into every school. We're going to go into every highway. We're going to go into every home. We're going to preach the gospel where people don't want the gospel preached. Come on, we're going to go further. We're going to go to Europe. We're going to go to Northern Africa. We're going to believe God for more in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, the Lord is for us. Who can be against us? An attitude of abundance, an attitude of victory, an attitude of overcoming in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, whether you see the milk and the honey or the giants, is your choice, my dear friend. There will always be giants of poverty, giants of lack, giants of sickness and disease. In this country of ours, we have giants of electricity. Thank God we follow the light. Just stay plugged in, hallelujah, and get a generator and become creative. Maybe you're going to discover a cheap way to generate electricity. We're living in a land filled with possibility and opportunity. A land that overflows with milk and honey. While people are going bankrupt, other people are making money. Come on. It is a land of opportunity, South Africa. It is a land where you have a great future. See the milk and the honey. Lift your eyes. Come on. Renew your mind to see what God has promised you. Anything can happen if you can believe. Don't let your attitude intimidate you or your environment. Believe that anything.